Okay. If there are any questions, you can obviously ask them after the coaching session. I think we'll probably take, I don't know, we'll be flexible, 20 or 30 minutes to coach, and then perhaps we'll open for some debriefing and talking about what you experienced in the session, what questions you had, what you would have done differently, what you enjoyed experiencing in the coaching, so that you can really have a participatory experience in this. I want you to take notes and really consider your input as valuable, because I'm going to be modeling my coaching, but that doesn't mean that it's the only way to coach someone. There are as many different ways to coach as there are coaches in the world. So honor that and know that this is one style, one approach, one set of intuitive thoughts, right, from me. However, your session could be equally as productive with a very different take, spin, direction, right? So let's talk about that at the end when we get done. And I appreciate feedback. I expect it to be thoughtful and constructive, of course, because you've all trained in how to communicate that way. So this will be good practice. And I'm happy to answer any of your questions about it at the end. And then if we have time, I'll address Debbie and Raquel, and then if we have time, any other general questions. Okay? All right, so we need a client who is interested in being coached. Now, before I say this, it's really a great idea for us to model coaching with kind of typical life coaching agendas. And the reason that is because many of you might want to be coached on building your coaching practice. But what I would like to work on to demonstrate for you is something that you would have in a similar experience with your clients, so you can sort of see the depth and the awareness building, the open-ended questions of a coach as opposed to a mentor coaching session. Does that make sense, you guys? It would be ideal if you could bring an agenda that was a life based agenda as opposed to a mentoring for, you know, growing your business. I hope it's okay I say that, but that's going to get you the biggest bang for your buck today. So who has a life-based agenda they need help on? It has to be real, has to be current.
Hi, Jen, it's Wendy.
Wendy!
How are you?
Hi! Good, how are you?
I'm great. I had to jump on because I was like, I wanted to be coached by you the whole time I was in your class, so I had to like jump on this opportunity.
Oh, let's do it. What do you got?
I think it's just, and I hope it's not too general, but I think it's sort of this general needing sort of, I guess, compartmentalize and yet integrate at the same time in my life. As you know, I had my baby girl 3 months ago.
Did. I was going to ask you, what's her name again?
Her name is Dahlia.
Dahlia, that's right. Oh, my God, precious. Congratulations. Okay, so you have your 3-month-old, yeah?
Yeah, so I have my 3-month-old. Enough said now. So, yeah, it's really, I think it's balance, because I know it's kind of generic, and I feel like I should make it, you know, a little bit more interesting, but it's this idea of really balancing this sort of new mother gig, right, and then, of course, and I don't want to make it about the business because it's not, but that is a piece, is, you know, starting the coaching business, and I think that in general feeling like I'm doing a good job and just feeling like I'm, that whole idea of compartmentalizing and integrating at the same time. And I think I try to integrate, but then sometimes it ends up feeling like a big mush pot where nothing actually gets accomplished. And so I guess my take, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not sure what I want my takeaway to be other than I just want to have some clarity around, you know, where I'm going and I guess maybe the help to focus on each step as I take it as opposed to, like, looking at the entire journey and going, oh, God, I can't do it, you know.
Yes, I'm writing. Good. Okay. To the entire journey. Good. Okay, so here's what I'm hearing in terms of an agenda. You're a new mother, and you're also a new coach. So a lot of new going on, a lot of new roles and hats. and there's the issue of balancing them both, right? Like finding, as you say, an ability to compartmentalize and integrate at the same time, right? However, you're feeling like, you want to feel like you're doing a good job, but you, sometimes you feel like there's this mush pot, which I'm still going to use that term. That's awesome. This mush pot where nothing gets accomplished, right? I totally relate to that, yeah. So as a takeaway, you're like, well, maybe I could figure out where I'm going, big picture, but then I also heard, like, each step, you know, just sort of more be present with each step as it comes, as opposed to the entire journey.
Yeah.
True?
Yeah.
So of that, of those takeaways, which one? Is it the bigger picture of where you're going, or is it sort of learning to approach each step as it comes?
I think it's maybe learning to approach each step, because when I pull focus and I think about the big picture, I get really excited, like, yeah, I can do all this, I can do it. And then when it comes to the actual moment of, you know, what am I going to do today and how am I going to sort of fit each thing in and feel like I'm being, quote-unquote, productive, which I love and hate that word at the same time, then that's when I start to feel lacking.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So we'll look at, as a takeaway, sort of having a new perspective on honing in on each step as you take it, and really honoring, am I hearing, like, honoring each step as a productive one in the direction that you want to go towards the big picture?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, and also honoring on an experiential level versus just this cognitive level of, like, oh, yeah, I honor that, whatever, I'm still lazy, you know?
Oh, that's huge. Honoring, I like how you put that on an experiential level. Okay. Good. All right. Awesome. Thank you. So if anyone's not *6 muted, please do that so we can engage in privacy. So, Lindy, what does it mean to be compartmentalized and integrated at the same time?
Well, I think it's that when I think about my to-do list, it becomes very compartmentalized, like, okay, these are the things I have to do as a mom today. These are the things I have to do as, you know, trying to get a business started, which, quite frankly, I haven't even thought about for the last 3 months. Today is my official first day of, like, stepping in, so it really worked out well that this symposium was happening today. So, and even like household things like making dinner and cleaning and things like that. So it's like the to-do list becomes very compartmentalized. But I know that everything plays into each piece. Like, I know that what I do as a mother is actually helping me as a coach, and even things like doing things around the house is helping my overall mentality so that I can create space to be, you know, enthused and inspired. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And they're happening, like you say, at the same time. Like, you're seeing how you're playing a role, one role or the other, let's say, but it's feeding the other role.
Yes. And I'd also like to add into that, too, also being a wife, because I feel like my relationship is just sort of kind of getting ignored right now with my husband, because there's all this other stuff going on, like, how do we pay the bills, how do we take care of a baby, how do we just keep going, and there's just no time for it. So that's another piece of that, to do compartmentalize, and I know it all needs to integrate.
And how do you know when it's integrated and compartmentalized at the same time? How will you know?
I think it just will. It will feel good. I mean, I will feel peaceful and energetic. You know what I mean? I feel like I feel really drained a lot because I'm just kind of flipping the channel almost. You know. So, and then I feel drained, and I think I'll know it's integrated properly when I flow and I'm energized by what's happening in my life versus feeling, like, exhausted at the end of the day and like, I'm not living up to, you know, my potential in any area.
So I'm hearing flow, not exhausted, right? Focused. But the word that keeps coming up too that I haven't heard from you, but I'm going to put it out there, is present.
Yeah.
Present in what you're doing. What resonates for you with that?
Yeah, I mean, present in that very sort of, you know, not thinking about the next thing I have to do while I'm doing this thing. And I feel like I have those moments definitely with my daughter when I just am smiling with her or, you know, nursing her or whatever, and I have those moments where I'm like, oh, this is wonderful. I'm just completely present with her right now. And, you know, but it's not every time I'm with her. I mean, often when I'm with her, I'm like, oh, I should be doing this or this or this, you know, but I know I've experienced it and I've tasted it, that presence, particularly with her. I don't know that I've really experienced it in any of the other areas I've mentioned lately.
And what do you think that's about?
I guess maybe because monumental thing to have this new baby in what, you know, in my presence, to be present, whereas other things feel harder to be present with because they either sort of have been around for a while or they feel like an obligation or, you know what I mean? So with her, it feels like just so new and exciting, and so it's not hard to be present with her.
And what makes the challenge, what makes it challenging, besides this, the non-newness, what makes it challenging to be present in the other roles?
I think it's that feeling of scarcity, you know, it's like with the business, so much of it is motivated from scarcity. Like, I got to get this started because we need to have more money coming in. So then I have a hard time being present with the joy of creating something new because it's outweighed by the scarcity of the situation. And then in the relationship, I feel like it's just hard to be present because there's just so much else going on, and then we don't necessarily, like, make the time to be present with each other. I mean, I know we will. I just know that we're not right now, you know.
How do you know that, that you will and that you're just not right now?
I know that we will because I love my husband and I have faith in our relationship, and I know that we want the same things out of life. So I know that it's just about an adjustment period, I guess. So I know that because of that adjustment period, we're sort of in a little bit of a flux. But that we're both committed enough to the relationship and having fun with each other and growing together, that we will, you know, we will, once we're kind of out of this adjustment period, you know, get into that place again.
That's interesting, Lindy. This is an adjustment period. So what allowance can you give yourself during this adjustment period? What do you want to allow yourself to be in this adjustment period without resisting it? What do you want to allow yourself to be?
I guess I want to allow myself to be enough with whatever it is that I'm doing, you know, like what I'm doing as a mother, as a wife, as a new coach is all enough. And, it, you know, I never to allow the possibility that whatever I am doing is enough.
Allow the possibility. Allow for the possibility that whatever I'm doing as a mother, as a wife, as a coach is enough. Yum. So what gets in the way of you allowing for that enoughness during this transition adjustment period?
I think the self-talk, the shoulds, that gets in the way. And, you know, I hear myself doing it, and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't should myself. Oh, wait, that's another should. You know what I mean?
Yep. So let's go there. Let's what is the story you're telling yourself? What is the story you're currently speaking in your mind or the tape that's going on around your enoughness?
Oh, gosh. Any spare moment that I have, I should be actively pursuing, you know, this new business, or actively pursuing this ideal marriage, or actively pursuing being the perfect mom who has the house clean, whatever, at all times, as opposed to allowing those times where I'm just tired and I just want to sit and read my book because I have a little time to just sit and relax.
What else?
Your mom brain. What was the question again?
What is the story you tell yourself?
The story I tell yourself.
Right. You tell yourself.
Yeah, I think that you know, that there's a perfect way to be doing all of it, and that I'm not doing it. You know, I know it's ridiculous, but there's a deep belief that I have that, you know, my emotions kind of are triggered by that there is a perfect way and that I should be doing it. You know, even though on a Christmas conceptual intellectual level, I know there is no perfect way. You know, I understand that, but there's part of me that doesn't quite believe it, I think. There's a part of me that believes, oh, I could be doing much better in all of these areas.
What's your perfect way?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I think my perfect way, again, it goes back to that flow and that feeling, that peace about my day and that fun. You know, there's a joy and a fun that I'm not having lately. So I guess that's my perfect way. It's like, it is the perfect way as long as I'm having fun and enjoying it. And then that's how I want to live my life, period. But I don't necessarily feel like I'm doing that.
Okay, so let's take those two things. Let's take those two stories, right, or parts of your story. So in any spare moment, I should be actively pursuing the ideal mother role or the ideal coaching practice or business, or in any spare moment, I should be actively pursuing being the best wife, etc. How do you want to rephrase that to make it more realistic? More realistic, more enjoyable, more you, more true and authentic. How do you want to restate that belief? Any spare moment?
I guess piggybacking on the other pieces, in any spare moment, I want to just ask myself what would be fun right now and know that that's valuable, as opposed to saying, like, well, that might be fun, but that's, you know.
So in any spare moment, I get to ask myself what would be fun right now. And then there is a piece about the valuable. And so if we continue the story, and that is a valuable exercise, question, etc. Because
I'm not as valuable because I really believe that the purpose of life is to enjoy life and have fun. Or I should say, I want to believe that that's the purpose of life. You know, again, on that theoretical level, I believe it is, or I think it is, or that's my sort of, that's what I say is my belief. But when it comes to the feeling belief, I think I still have maybe these leanings towards that sort of puritanical, well, there's a little bit of suffering, and there's a little bit of stuff that's just hard, and you just have to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Is that the story you want to tell yourself, or, I mean, do you want that balance of suffering story, or do you want to really just...
No.
No.
Yeah, I want to get rid of that piece.
I
want to live my life, like, the point of it is to have fun, you know, because, like, I mean, no one really knows what the purpose of life is. You get to choose it for yourself, or I get to choose it for myself. I get to say what I think the purpose of life is, and I really want to have, on a feeling level, I want to have the experience that, oh, life really is about having fun, you know.
All the time?
I think so, yeah. All the time, yeah. I mean, that's not to say that, well, okay, let me let me rephrase that. That's not to say that that I don't find the value in contrast. Because I think sometimes, you know, the contrast is exactly what helps you determine what it is that you do want. You know, when you don't, when you know what you don't want, you know what you do want, kind of thing. So that's not to say I need to be, you know, having fun every second of every day. But that I think the purpose ultimately is to have a fun, joyful life.
So I'm hearing you say that in order to recognize what fun is, the value of contrast is important, right?
Yeah.
In order to recognize what you do want, you need to experience what you don't want in that contrast. Is that what you were saying?
Well, I don't know. I'm very wishy-washy because I feel like I've lived a lot of contrast already, so do I need to keep living contrast? You know? I mean, it's like I can find value in it when it happens, but does that mean that I need to keep inviting it into my life? And I don't know that that's the case.
So you've had mountains and valleys previously, because in order to have a mountain, you got to have a valley, right? So you've had that contrast before. So do you need to have another valley to have mountains, you're saying? Like, is that even necessary, or can you just have mountains, just mountains?
Right, or all have a lot more shallow valleys.
Okay. All right. Well, there's a shift in perspective. So the valleys are allowable in your mind. Maybe it's not as frequently or as deep.
Yeah, because, I mean, it seems like it would be impossible to maintain an ultimate high, because then it would cease to be an ultimate high, because there would be no...
Right.
There would be no change, but once you've achieved a certain elevation, you don't really need to go back down to sea level again. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We're really going crazy with this metaphor.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Because what I want to do is ask you, where are you now in terms of this contrast? Like, what is now in your valley and peak metaphor?
I think I'm just in a lot deeper valley much of the time than I would like to be.
And that's valuable because we're talking about the value of these valleys. that's valuable. That's valuable because why? What makes this, like, divinely perfect for you to be experiencing this depth of the valley right now?
What makes it divinely perfect? I mean, I guess it makes it divinely perfect because I do have a deep belief that I'm gonna hit that mountain soon. It's on its way, kind of thing, and that I will be able to look back and go, oh, you know, look, I got through that, kind of thing. I don't know. I guess perspective. I guess I know ultimately it will create, you know, it will provide me with perspective. So I know that makes it divinely perfect.
Okay, and that perspective is going to benefit who, what, how?
Well, I think it will benefit all of those areas we talked about. I think it will benefit me as a coach. Obviously, talking to other clients who are sort of going through the mountain valley thing themselves. And then, of course, as a mother, you know, I don't know. I'm sure that there will be spaces throughout Dahlia's entire life where, you know, there will be ups and there will be downs, and I'll know, like, oh, I don't know. I'm having a hard time with this question. I don't know.
What do you think the resistance is about? Because if there was resistance, what do you think it would be about around this question?
I think the resistance is this feeling like I need to have all the answers now, and I don't have them, and yet I am sort of striving to have them now.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, What would you have if you weren't seeking for answers, what would you be seeking for and ultimately finding?
Happiness and joy.
Hmm.
And also, I guess, just that self-acceptance, that I'm doing the best I can, and I really am, and that that's enough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Say it again.
That it's about, you know, it's around that self-acceptance, that I'm doing the best I can, and that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. Tell me three of the top ways that, top reasons that that statement is true. That you're doing the best you can and that it is enough. Tell me on that idea. Back it up.
Let's see. Well, definitely as a new mom, I 100% think I'm doing the best I can and that's enough because, you know, to a certain extent, I have sort of given all of my focus to being a new mom. I've shifted it completely over the last 3 months to being a new mom, and so if that's not enough, like, I don't know what could be. So I feel very confident that I'm doing the best I can as a new mom. And so I guess then by virtue of that, I mean that I'm doing the best I can in my relationship and well, as a new coach, which I haven't really been pursuing because of putting all that energy into being a new mom. So I guess it's that, gosh, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that by not focusing on, say, those other two areas, because I put all my focus on being a new mom, for the last 3 months has been fine. Like, it's been exactly what it's supposed to be. And I feel really good about it, but now I feel like, okay, now I want to start putting some of my other focus on those other two areas without taking away focus from my daughter. So I think that's the conundrum. It's like, well, how do I still give her all the attention that I give her now, but give those other, because it really is about those three areas, you know, or in actually probably health and exercise, that's kind of a fourth attention area. So yeah, I guess that is ultimately a conundrum, and that's helping me clarify that that's really what that the roots of this unease are.
So how do you honor that? How do you honor that, as you say, in an experiential way?
Honor which piece? Honor the needing to now shift or needing to give more focus
to. Go ahead.
I guess, yeah, honor what? I'm not clear.
Well, what would you like to honor most?
gosh, I don't know. I guess honor that I have done a kick-ass job as a new mom. I'd like to honor that.
Yeah.
And I would also like to have a glimpse or a sense of possibility around how I can maintain that level of momness and give time and energy to those other parts of my life that have been really, I guess, neglected the last 3 months.
Okay, so that, what you just said, is a need, a desire, a hope, a want, right? That I'm in the process, that I am going to move into that, right, and dedicate more time. But what do you honor? What I'm hearing is the part to honor there, aside from being a kick-ass mom, which you are, is that you're in the process of now transitioning over, right? Like honoring that you're in the process, Lindy.
Yeah.
That you're not there, but you're in the process.
Honoring the process. I think I often do not honor the process.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I give a lot of lip service to the process, but internally I don't often honor the process.
Mm. What does honoring the process look like then?
I think honoring the process just looks like it's like a resting into every moment. You know, it's like there's no shoulders hunched up around the ears. There's no irritation that's just like that sort of twisting nerve irritation. Like there's like other things I should be doing. You know, it's just like that's honoring the process. Living and breathing into those moments. That presence that we talked about earlier, I think it's very similar. Honoring and presence are almost synonyms, I think, in this situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which brings us full circle to the to that idea of being present, right? And the takeaway, which was taking each step, right, as they come, as opposed to looking at the entire journey of where you should be or want to be or are going. It's looking at where you are.
Yeah.
That's honoring. So I'm not going to ask you for specific action steps because it doesn't feel like it's that's something that's being asked for, but what would be an example of honoring that process by being in the moment, like sort of you said, resting into every moment. Like, can you paint a picture of that?
Yeah, I think it is. It's the feeling. It's like you know, this morning I taught a NIA class and I was present for that, and yet near the end of it I was like, okay, so I need to get home and do this and this. Mm-hmm. And so it's the picture of that is finding the joy in that moment. And when those thoughts of like should encroach upon that moment, it's not pushing them away necessarily, because then that's all about like what you resist persists, but it's allowing them to be there, and then I think just gently to focus over to the moment again.
Mm-hmm. So not staying there, right? So recognizing that you're moving over, right, to being not present, and then closing the gap is between how long you stay there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so what one thing will you say to do that, or to ground you in that, or to trigger that?
I think it's more, it's the breath, it's the breathing. It's just taking that time to just breathe in fully, and then the exhale, the releasing of the shoulders. You know, that's a huge place for me, is that tension of the shoulders. And so to just somatically remind myself, okay, breath in, and then let, as my shoulders drop, let whatever is coming up drop with it.
Let's do it now. Let's do it now.
Okay.
Breathing in, where are you breathing into?
My heart.
Your heart, got it. So breathing in, and then somatically, so are you lifting your shoulders up and then dropping them?
Yeah, I think so. I think that that emphasis will kind of... make it even more satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As they resting into the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that feels good.
Yeah, that's so good.
Okay. Man, you're a champ. You're a total champ, Mindy. You have so much energy. You're like, wow. I could see, feel, whatever, the energy from where you were when you started.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same level, but it's a different type of energy, right? Your energy is so high, but it sounds at the same time sort of rooted, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, because I feel like the energy when I started,
go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, because I feel like the energy when I started was a very kind of, like, adrenaline-induced kind of, like, just not, like you said, not rooted, and it was kind of all over the place, and now it feels very much rooted in like, fun. Like, oh, it doesn't have to be this uphill trudge, like, uphill trudge of a mountain. It can be, like, a fun hike, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And you get to remind yourself of that in any given moment. And you can not remind yourself of that in any given moment. The beauty is to recognize that you have this choice, right? Which you've so eloquently laid out today. So well done. Well done. What is what's the most valuable takeaway from today's session? I asked this, you've practically answered it, but just to keep in the true coaching form and model, can you tell us?
Well, yeah, I think what I just wrote down, and I just wrote exclamation point, fun hike, not uphill trudge.
yeah. Whatever hat you're wearing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Whatever hat I'm wearing. And that, you know, that in combination with the breathing, you know, what the experiential piece that we just did. I think those two things in combination are the two really valuable takeaways.
Nice. Yeah. Brilliant.
Thanks, Jen.
Brilliant you are. Thank you so much, Lindy. I'm so excited to hear your voice and to know that you're
I'm excited to hear your voice, too. I just nostalgia when you got on the line. I was like,
last time I talked to you was pre-baby, and now you're a mama. So congrats. So exciting. Okay. So, and thank you for being very coachable. So I'm going to open it up. If you're muted, you have to star 6 to comment. I want to hear your comments and your questions about this coaching session. Who's got what?
Oh, hi, my name is Anita, and I'm calling from Connecticut, and I'm not a coach. I'm thinking about becoming a coach. I've done introductory sessions, so this is a very new experience for me, but I couldn't help but feel that because we were so present to each other and because there was such a focus in the listening and the feedback, that there was some kind of reciprocal exchange that was really working the energy through each other, and I thought it was really healing. I thought it was really healing, and I was very taken with that. I was very lost for a while, and I thought, where is she going to go with this? This is really a meandering, wandering, and I was really impressed with your level of focus and how you kept bringing it back into the circle. There was a circular motion, a direction you were both moving in. And it was a dance, but yet there was this clear circular motion that brought it right back to the beginning with some closure or some openness or acceptance. Mm-hmm. So I was really, really impressed with both of your willingness to be so open and, vulnerable.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you used that word.
There was no formula you could use. You had to just really enter into it. And so I was blown away by that. I thought, wow, you know, what would I do in that situation? It just seemed like it was, and you did it in a way where you weren't controlling it. So I thought that was, you were willing to sit with the uncertainty. That was really great, I thought.
Yeah, great, Anita, great feedback. And there is uncertainty. In every moment, there's uncertainty. The minute we have certainty is the minute we've stepped out of the co-creative role, in my opinion, right?
Yes.
So it's always allowing for the, I don't know what the hell is going to come. I really don't know what's going to come next. I do know that there is this thread that you talked about, and it's important that you brought that up because we do have to keep it within the circle. We do have to sort of always, like I'm constantly looking back to my notes about what her takeaway was, right? So each step as I take it opposed to the big journey. So how is that, how are we feeding into that? That's an important observation you made, Anita. Really good. And
there's definitely, yeah. I'm sorry.
But Yeah. There has to be that intention, or else, yeah, you could get totally off topic, totally off agenda, and at the end you're like, oh, yeah, you wanted to look at that in the takeaway. Sorry, we just totally got off, you know, subject. So you do have to constantly be sort of feeding back into that. But it's like a weave, you know what I mean? And you're growing this long, I don't know, fabric, and you're weaving it constantly back to the desired takeaway.
Oh, yeah, that was very clear. Yeah, that was very clear.
That's good.
I also thought that at any point you could have stepped in and given a little philosophy, but you didn't. You didn't talk about the value of uncertainty or confusion. You just let it go and unravel by itself to come back to your center. So that was pretty good too.
Yes,
thank you.
Because that's a great observation. I wouldn't be coaching if I was pawning off my, I mean, it's not that, you know, you can't ever say that, but, man, you can still get there without saying your philosophy or sharing it. And if you have a philosophy, you can ask about it. I think I asked a question about, I don't remember what it was now, but there was something like, oh, the peak and the valley, right? That's my philosophy. You need to have peaks to have valleys. Clearly my philosophy. But what I did was I didn't say, in order to have peaks, you need to have valleys.
Right.
I said, so what you're saying is, you've had peaks, and therefore you've had valleys, and now you're done. No more.
Yeah.
You don't need any more valleys. But you see, that was kind of, you know, offering that, but just having her check in with that without saying it. Yeah, good.
Yeah, it was subtle. Great. It was very well done, I thought, yeah.
Good observations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
who else?
I have an observation also. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Oh, okay. And there was a lot of things going on in this session, but one of them, one thing that I observed was that it illustrated the ideal client concept in a way that something that I was sensitive to is that you have similar energies, and because she seems to have been one of your students, or, I mean, somebody that definitely likes your style and is definitely interested in what you do and the way you do it, it gave a very specific tone to the coaching session, and in my opinion, it illustrated how it can be when you have your ideal client, which would tend to be somebody with a similar views, even though it's not identical, but so it gives a specific spin to the session.
Brilliant. What's your name?
Magali.
Magali, brilliant, brilliant observation and really well articulated. It's true. Obviously, I was really excited to hear Lindy's voice. Lindy and I are energetically matched. I've always felt that. And it does demonstrate the dynamic of a session when that is so. I'm glad it was demonstrated that way than the opposite way when it can happen too, where, you know, two people are not matched at all, and you're like, oh, my God!
Also there, your dynamic and you have a strong energy coming out of yourself, and the way you state things will be well-received by somebody who has an optimistic, positive, strong energy also. And for my past experience, people who would be maybe more shy or reserved or more introvert might feel a little bit like it's maybe even too challenging for them.
Yes,
because
totally.
You're so, like, confident in the way you're coming out. And so it was extremely interesting to see how well it was received and how she would turn that in a very productive outcome instead of being shut down because it could be intimidating. So that was really good.
Unbelievably well spoken. Yes, it's true. It's true. And when I attract clients, they're the kind of clients, I attract them because they want that. And you'll attract them because they want what you have, and so on and so forth.
Well, that's why I thought you were illustrating the ideal client really perfectly.
So good. So good. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So. One more comment before I can get to these other questions. Comment or question feedback. Okay, well then let's go to our questions from Debbie and Raquel. I want to talk about Debbie's because it's a great question, and hopefully I can sort of fishtail or dovetail, whatever, off of what McGilly, was it? McGilly, is that your name? I'm sorry if I'm massacring your name. But Debbie's question is how to keep your authentic self even when you're coaching. And Anita actually hit on the word that I would use to, and it might come as a surprise to you, but it's to really stay in your authentic self no matter who you are or where you are or what you're doing or what your profession. My belief is that there has to be a certain level of vulnerability. You have to allow for yourself to be vulnerable, for you to not be right or to have all the answers or even all the right questions. For you to not understand something and say it, for you to need more information and not be afraid to ask for it. And then also to highlight your best assets, which is what we just heard, right? And not squander them or snuff them out because you don't think the client will receive them very well. So to be authentic, you have to be vulnerable and a little bit fearless in allowing yourself to come out, even though you're not sure it will land. I'm not even aware of the comments that I heard now about having, like, strong energy. I mean, of course, I'm a little bit aware of it, but I'm so used to it. It's sort of like looking in the mirror and not seeing your freckles anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah, I am kind of like that. But what's important about that is that I don't stop, that I don't stop to look at it and wonder if that's okay. And to honor it, to let people that are attracted to that be pulled in and to allow people who are detracted from that, let them not come in, right, and not make excuses for it or apologize for it. And so there is a little bit of vulnerability that's required to say, hey, this is me. Hope you like it. If not, no big. Right? It's hard as friends. So the trick then, even while you're coaching, Debbie, is to not wear a mask. Not wear a mask. To not try to be what you think your client wants you to be. To not worry about being right all the time. And not get into performance anxiety. Not focus more on the doing than you are on the being. Right? So it's about being authentic, not doing authentic, right? So you have to be. You have to focus on the being. Who are you? And how can you bring that self, that person, to the client, to the session, without a mask? Right? And be fearless and unapologetic about it. And let me tell you, that doesn't come that easy. It does take practice and diligence and work and experimenting and trying and crying and, you know, fearing. But then the sun comes out, you know, after all that rain, and you're like, holy crap, this feels so much better. So give yourself that gift. Debbie, does that help answer your question, and what follow-up might you have?
Yes, it does help answer my question. Thank you very much. I just have, like you, a very strong personality, and sometimes I can be a bit of a steamroller and go, oh, bump, that was you, sorry, you know, as I run right over. So, and so I've tried to tone it down, but then when I find that when I do hold back on my personality, then I don't always connect as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's why I was really wondering how you had managed to do it, because I get such a strong sense of who you are over the phone.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Let me give you my best practice. Are you ready? This is years of trial and error. I'm just giving it to you right here. No matter who you're working with, whether it be your husband, your spouse, your boyfriend, your neighbor, your coaching client, your class, your audience, whatever, you let them know in advance what they're dealing with.
Okay.
You let them know that it's okay that you are this way, and it's okay that they don't like it. It's okay for them to love it, but let them know. So, for example, Lindy can tell you at the beginning of every coaching class, I tell my students when I start with them my style, how I am, that I'm East Coast, I'm Italian, I have strong opinions, but everything I give you will be wrapped in loving kindness. So I encourage you to take it for what it's worth. Don't take it personally, but do take it or leave it. I'm not attached to you, you know, taking on everything that I offer you, but know that it's going to come at you. And it's going to come at you maybe not in a way that you love it or not in the way you would deliver it, but it's always going to be wrapped with loving kindness and good intention, right? And that's my style. And I don't think you want me, class or coach or client or whatever, I don't think you want me to be any other way. And then you know what some people say? Most people, my clients, they go, that's exactly why I'm hiring you, Jen, because you're no bullshit. Or because you wear it on your sleeve, or because you'll be honest with me, or, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to blow smoke, or you'll hold me accountable, or you'll tell me, whatever. It's beautiful. So tell them, right?
Okay.
When I speak to an audience, yeah, tell them. When I speak to an audience, I just now started doing this after years of speaking. I say, you know what, whatever you hear today, because my stuff can sort of get a little bit woo, and maybe I'll lose a corporate client, I mean a corporate audience or so. But I say to them, and it makes the biggest difference in the world, whatever I offer you today, take what you want with you and leave at the door what you don't. I'm not attached to you taking any of this, right, or accepting or believing any of it. But try it on, at least while you're here. You know what I mean? It's fun. People, like when you give people that permission to take you or leave you, they will. And then you can just be whoever you want to be.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Raquel, I would get follow-up on that, but we're running out of time, and I want to make sure Raquel's question is answered. So it's not really a question. It's sort of like a need, needing inspiration. And Raquel, I'm certain that you're not alone in this. I'm certain that a lot of people are here because they very much need that. And I don't know how much inspiration I can give you besides modeling what I have here today, both in the coaching session and in expressing myself. But I will tell you this, that if you're ready to get your coaching practice off the ground, it will get off the ground. In order to be ready to get your coaching practice off the ground, a lot of people think there's things that they need to do. But I'm going to tell you today that you don't need to do anything. You need to be something. And what you need to be is a believer. And yes, you need to believe in yourself, but you need to believe in the ability of others to be great. You need to believe in the human spirit. You need to believe that people have this potential in them that you can help them access. You have to believe in other people. I know, believe in yourself, yada, yada. Believe in other people. They will feel that. They will sense it. They will love it. They will want it. They will hire you to have it. Okay? It's not about a website. It's not about a Facebook page. It's not about the best business card or logo. It's not about you doing all the things that the textbook says. It's about you being your best freaking self and in doing so believing in everyone else being their best self. Do that and you will set them on fire, as will you will set your practice on fire. So hopefully that gives you a little reprieve from all the doing that you feel like you have to do and focus more on just being. Be yourself and be a believer. Yeah, that's all people really want. Raquel, helpful? Raquel. Raquel, you might be muted if you're talking, so star 6. And if anyone has any follow-up questions or thoughts to that, we have about 30 seconds. Okay. Hopefully, this has been a productive use of your time and energy, and I'm so glad you were here. I'm happy to hear from you at jennifer@jenniferpowers.com. I hope to see you in class. May all your best wishes come true. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Hello, Jennifer. This is Elena.
Elena! Hi, yes. Darling.
Nice to hear you.
But nice to hear you, too.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Did you have a question?
No.
I'm so glad to hear your voice. Thank you, Elena.
Okay. It was not familiar, this style. I like it. Now I can compare two styles, and this is the best what I used to. Yeah.
Oh, good.
This style too. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you, Elena. Miss you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye. Bye.